It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I told y'all we was going on a ride today. Ain't nobody else informing you about what is really happening in this country, about why wages are low and why inflation is eating up people's income and their purchasing power. Nobody is having that conversation with you. Well, you're going to have that conversation here. We got to be able to cut through some of the noise, because people that don't know what is actually happening are blaming the Democrats for this, when the Republicans are much more complicit in making sure that wages stay low. Because if companies, businesses, corporations, and firms pay a lower tax rate, because, you know, Kamala Harris and them, they want to raise the corporate tax rate. Donald Trump wants to lower. He lowered it when he was in office. He wants to lower it further. They want to lower it by using these kinds of loopholes that undermine real people's wages. There's only one political party that's busting unions. Why do you think they want to bust unions? Think about that practically. You're all very smart people. I hate when smart people play dumb, or researching and reading is too hard and too time consuming. You know what's hard and time consuming? Being ignorant. The most expensive thing you can be in America right now is black and ignorant. It will cost you everything, including your life. They want to bust unions because unions give workers bargaining power to raise their wages, to get more benefits. They want to expand. Why do you think that when a Walmart, maybe in Canada, I think it was, they tried to unionize and they fired everybody? Reagan was notoriously anti-union. Unions raise people's wages. Now, I don't always agree with how unions execute their duties, but as far as African-Americans go, when we migrated from the South to the North, we didn't have civil rights necessarily. In fact, we had more rights as workers than we did as people. Unions offered us a level of protection that we did not get when we were in society. We had more protection. Our jobs, our wages, our benefits, our pensions were more protected on the job than our lives were when you got home, when you were back in your neighborhood or in your community. Only one political party detests the fact that workers want to be able to collectively organize and collectively bargain. So why do you think Skywalker did what he did with Act 10? But why do you think he left two very specific groups out of Act 10? Basically gutted public sector unions except for two: cops and firefighters. They still had their collective bargaining. I got to read something to you guys. I want you, I'm just going to treat me like an audiobook, because I got to read you this stuff. This is from Quillette.com. I was talking about a book. So a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about is condensed in a book called Hell to Pay: How the Suppression of Wages is Destroying America, by Michael Lind. Highly, highly recommended reading. It's called Hell to Pay: How the Suppression of Wages is Destroying America. So I've been spending the last 2 hours telling you why wages are low and why they're not going up. But the cost of everything is going up. Corporate price gouging, inflation, and just everything getting more expensive. Just over time, things get more expensive. I am happy to say, though, that gas is below $3 a gallon for the first time in a long time. And inflation, instead of being 9.1% at its peak about two and a half years ago, is now back at 2.9%. So now inflation, thanks Joe Biden, ain't nobody thanking him for that. Inflation is now back to where it was when people weren't complaining about it. But yeah, I got to read you this little synopsis of this book. Real wages in the United States have been stagnant for 50 years. Since the year 2021, inflation has been outstripping real wage growth, driving down living standards for many American workers. But mainstream economists and political commentators on both the libertarian right and much of the far liberal left treat low wages as an unfortunate but unassailable facet of the American globalized economy. They're wrong. Low wages are the price we pay for free trade, efficient markets, and low prices. If liberals and libertarians diverge at all from this point of the neoliberal consensus, it is only how to best respond to low wages. Liberals may support government welfare to support low wages, while libertarians contend that the redistribution disincentivizes workers from upskilling or moving laterally into industries and occupations in higher demand, but both accept low wages as the natural byproduct of technological process, i.e. automation and the global free markets of goods and labor that lower prices for everyone. So those of you that complain like, oh, those kiosks at the grocery store where you check out your own groceries, oh, those are taking real jobs and keeping wages low. No, they're not. No, they're not. They want you to think that. In his book, Hell to Pay, How the Suppression of Wages is Destroying America, Michael Lind rejects this status quo. Enabling employers to pay low wages, he contends, is a political choice. Far from being natural or inevitable, low wages are the spoils of a successful war being prosecuted by employers against workers and their collective bargaining power. Lind concedes that low wages translate into lower consumer prices, but as the title of the book suggests, the price Americans pay for low wages is still too damn high. He places low wages at the root of the biggest problems plaguing Western countries, especially the United States. Now, this is the part I really want you to listen to. This is where the goodies is at. You guys ready to go into the rabbit hole? We finna go into the rabbit hole. It's going to get dark now. Get you a flashlight. Let me give me a sip of coffee because we finna go down in the rabbit hole. I'm going to put a hole in the entire Republican Party's political platform. Hold on now before I get into that, because that's a big task. Get me a sip. That's nice. Black coffee is good for the pancreas, they say. It's also why the Republicans have essentially cut off states subsidizing a four-year college education. It is also a reason why the Republicans want to get rid of the Department of Education itself. It's also a reason why Donald Trump, and I believe him when he says there's a lot of stuff I don't believe. This one I believe when he says he loves the poorly educated. I'm about to tell you why. All right, here we go. Michael Lind places low wages at the roots of the biggest problems plaguing Western countries, especially America, where the assault on workers' bargaining power has been the most extreme. His contention is that low wages contribute not only to poverty, but also, listen good, declining marriage rates, declining birth rates, toxic identity politics, partisan polarization, moral panics, loneliness, and social atomization, deaths of despair caused by depression, drug addiction, and more. The root cause of what I just read, and you can identify with everything I just said. Let me read them again. Declining marriage and birth rates. Y'all think, oh, the black family is declining because of low wages. Toxic identity politics. You're going to hear toxic identity politics when you listen to myself, Tory, Dr. Ken, Bailey, and Telly have a quote unquote political debate tonight at 6 o'clock. That's all you're going to hear. But I ain't going to participate in it because you guys know that I know and we all know where the root of this stuff is. It's buried in the gray area of Americans that do zero research and just listen to the Republicans saying it's those migrants that are coming over here that are killing you and taking your job. No, it's them, and it's their hidden political platform. Now, the Democrats are culpable, too, because they just want to give more public assistance to people that are making low wages. And that's not a way out either. You can't welfare your way out of poverty. Here's what you can do. Give people $25,000 as a down payment if they're a first-time homebuyer. That is something you can do. Ladies and gentlemen, I bought my house when I was 29 years old. I'm 49 years old right now. Every so often, I would overpay my mortgage. My house is almost paid off. I look at what my house is worth, and I want to sell it and get the hell out of here so bad. You have no idea, because I could leave. I could go live in Thailand and be rich. I sure could, because Thailand, the dollar in America goes far in Thailand. I could go to Thailand, get me a villa on the beach somewhere in Pattaya for like $900 a month, and I'd be living good and not have a Thai girl. Oh, Sherwin, me love you long time. Good. Love me long. I want to be loved long. Was that racist? The argument goes like this. Employers suppress wages by reducing worker bargaining power through union busting, offshoring, bringing in low-wage foreign workers, migrants, and various employment practices such as salary bans, no-poach agreements, non-compete clauses, forced arbitration, and the outsourcing of jobs to private contractors. These practices have been so successful at retarding wages that many workers are no longer able to survive without public assistance, which Lens reframes as employer welfare. Employers need only pay sub-living wages because the government offers food stamps, subsidized housing, the earned income tax credit, and many other means of tested benefits. Lend excludes both universal benefits such as public health care and child care benefits and social insurance that workers contribute to, such as Social Security, from the definition of welfare. The taxpayer is left picking up the bill to keep low-wage workers alive. In Lend's words, the business model of the 21st century neoliberal capitalism is privatizing the benefits and socializing the costs of cheap labor. Meanwhile, aspirants to the beleaguered middle class find themselves mired in an expensive credential arms race despite diminishing prospects in the face of slow proletarianization of liberal professions. Colleges, they're putting out more graduates than there are good jobs, and the oversupply of graduates exerts even more downward pressure on wages for those lucky enough to find a profession at all. Students trained for professorships are now more likely to become low-paid adjuncts in precarious employment or baristas at Starbucks. But despite diminishing prospects, middle-class aspirants have no choice but to attend college and shoot their shot at a better life. Credential inflation has employers favoring applicants with a bachelor's and advanced degrees for roles that don't even require that kind of education. Why Joe Biden is trying to create jobs to pay $100,000 in the clean, green economy that do not require a college degree. I don't know if you've seen that commercial or not. Employers want you to have a college degree to get the job, to meet the requirement, and they're going to pay you a crappy wage, therefore devaluing your college degree because you might have a four-year degree, maybe even a master's degree, making $17 an hour. That means future college graduates who are going into major debt to get that college degree are going to be mired in poverty and will themselves, too, be a low-wage worker. Earlier in the program, I talked about the number of people that are on OnlyFans that are doing things that they may even find morally questionable so they can make a little more money to make ends meet. I talked about Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, even talked about people that might sell dinners out of their kitchen because everybody needs a side hustle. Everybody's looking for extra hours, more overtime. Project 2025 actually eliminates overtime pay, FYI. Because inflation, the cost of everything is going up, groceries going up, gas was going up for a while. Price gouging was taking place, so people are looking for additional hustles. Still one of the biggest suppressants of wage labor is prison labor. Because eventually some of these people who are being left behind, they just can't afford the cost of everything, can't afford their rent, can't afford their damn utilities, can't afford anything, may commit a crime, especially in a city where we are required to have more police officers, which was a requirement that we had to sign on to. That's called Act 12. That's actually a state law. If the city of Milwaukee does not increase the number of police officers that we have, then we lose our shared revenue and the city of Milwaukee won't even be able to plow the streets. But what is more police going to do? Going to ensure that more people get arrested. What happens when people get arrested? Sometimes people are found guilty. Sometimes people go to prison. When they go to prison, what are they going to be? Low-wage labor. There are 800,000 people, minimum 800,000 people right now in state prisons. We talked about Angola a little while ago, which is a prison that is so egregious because it's literally on the same site as a plantation and named after the African country in which slaves were stolen. The biggest maximum security prison in the country, where disproportionately black, as you can imagine, where black men who were at Angola are picking okra and cotton and tobacco, just like they were 150 years ago. So we talked about money and low wages. We want to give you guys some money so you can increase your wages. How about we do the Gruber 5K giveaway? We want you guys to win $5,000 to offset your low wages. It's a soundbite that we play sometimes.
One call, there it is. That's all.
Now's your chance to be entered to win our $5,000 giveaway. Yes, that's $5,000 courtesy of Gruber Law Offices. We'll take caller number 6 at 833-212-1017. Caller number 6 at 833-212-1017. You'll be entered to win the $5,000 giveaway with the award-winning 101.7 The Truth and Gruber Law Offices. Again, call number 6 at 833-212-1017. Remember, if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, contact Gruber Law Offices today, and you can visit them on the internet, where you can literally Google everything that I just said to you, but you got to know what to Google. Contact them on the internet, gruber-law.com. For official contest rules, of course, visit 1017thetruth.com. Call number 6. Enter to win $5,000. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Tune into the award-winning 101.7 The Truth this Saturday at 10 a.m. for another episode of Community Heartbeat, presented by Outreach Community Health Centers. I'll be speaking with Dr. Nicole Mubanga from Outreach Community Health Centers about the importance of immunizations, define inoculations, and how important they are to your overall health. Let me turn the music down just a taste. This is not just a show, it's a movement dedicated to bringing our community together through wellness. Do not miss Community Heartbeat, presented by Outreach Community Health Centers, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on 101.7 The Truth, Milwaukee Black Talk. Music, turn it down a little bit, just a little bit, a little too loud. I want people to hear the information that we're giving them. 101.7 The Truth Street Team is sponsored by the UW Credit Union. It's coming to an event near you. Join The Truth this Wednesday from 5 until 8 p.m. in Washington Park for Washington Park Wednesdays. There's food, games, and plenty of entertainment for everyone to enjoy. The 101.7 The Truth Street Team is sponsored by the UW Credit Union. They are here for every you. Truth Nation, election season is coming in full swing, and we need to have an insightful discussion on the political issues that matter to our community. This is why we will be debuting The Truth on Politics tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. on The Truth. Oh, it's a monthly show. Yeah. It'll be a Truth Family Roundtable, which will engage in a thoughtful debate on the local issues and policies, which impact you all and break down everything you need to know about the upcoming election. It's going to be tonight, myself, Dr. Ken, Telly, Tori, and Bailey, tonight until 6 until 8 p.m. The Beyond the Mic Happy Hour series has been a hit this summer, and as the summer comes to a close, we want to celebrate it with you. Join our Truth team for Beyond the Mic with me, Sherwin Hughes, this Friday, August 30th from 5 until 7 p.m. in Mr. B's Lounge, located at 8617 West Brown Deer Road. Cocktails, food, conversations, Chula Vista Resort, stay giveaways, and so much more. That's this Friday from 5 until 7 at Mr. B's Lounge in Milwaukee. What else we got? Oh, August is Black Business Month, and the award-winning 101.7 The Truth is teaming up with Associated Bank to celebrate the excellence of Black-owned businesses. Together, we are committed to uplifting local organizations and supporting Black businesses. This is why Carrie will be hosting a Black Business Spotlight show on Monday. She already did it. All right, well, she did it. I hope it went well. All right. Guess I don't need to read that one anymore. All right, so I'm posting a lot of the links of the articles that I've been referencing, because I want you guys to like know this stuff, because they're taking advantage, and both parties will do this, are taking advantage of information that Americans are just unaware of. So the Democrats are like, oh no, we have to make sure we have social safety nets to offset low wages. And the Republicans are like, no, 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 these low wages are because migrants are coming over here and they're working for really, really cheap. And that's why your wages are low. And oh, by the way, migrants, maybe they'll have kids over here. Those kids will be citizens. We call them anchor babies. And oh my God, maybe those migrants will become voters one day and they're going to outvote traditional moral Republicans. Oh yeah, and by the way, the reason why people are dying of all these different addictions and fentanyl is because the migrants are bringing them. But at the same time, some of these companies and corporations will hire those same migrants and pay them low wages. Prison labor is probably the biggest factor. That and Republicans wanting to bust up unions are the things that are undermining an increase in wages. Why so many of you are looking for additional jobs? That's why inflation has really taken a bite over the past couple of years. Even though, so here's the thing, inflation is actually down, but corporations raise their prices because no one can stop them. And so it may get challenged by someone who doesn't know policy very well, because that's usually who challenges this stuff. The federal government can do something about price gouging because they did it when they lowered the cost of insulin. Somebody might say, no, the federal government can't lower or can't, you know, get involved in price gouging. They 100% can. There's this whole thing called the Federal Trade Commission, and that's literally what they do. Price fixing has been illegal. I think it was made illegal in like 1890 with the Sherman Antitrust Act. It basically says this. Let's pick an industry. Soap, since soap came up earlier when Al called. Who makes the soap? Dove makes soap. Zest makes soap. Irish Spring. Axe makes the body soap, body wash soaps, whatever, right? All the companies that make soap, because we hope that everybody buys soap, they all can say, okay, fellow competitive soap makers, let's all raise our prices to $30 for all the soap. So even if you want to bargain shop for soap, it's all $30. That's anti-competitive. It's also illegal. That is also an example of price gouging. That is illegal. A lot of companies and corporations are very sore that they had to close their doors, had to cease their operations, or they had to dramatically reduce their workforces during the pandemic because, you know, pandemic, anti-vaxxers, remember that whole thing? So they were mad. They couldn't make nearly as much money because they had to cease their operations, especially if they had a COVID outbreak, and a bunch of companies did. I think it was like a meatpacking plant, I think. They had a bad COVID outbreak, and they had to stop producing the meat because all the workers got sick. And so they lost a lot of money. And now they are determined to make back the money that they lost when they had to curtail their operations and lay off a bunch of workers. So they raised prices. And then the sales tax increase in both Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, that didn't really help things either because we were already living in an inflationary environment. And so when you raise taxes on top of that, which we literally had to do, we had to, because we have pension obligations for all the retired city employees that still need to get their checks. So it hurt. And the Republicans, of course, wanting to take advantage, of course, of every tragedy they possibly can, say, ooh, it's Joe Biden that made all the prices go up. Well, I hope they also are thanking Joe Biden for gas being less than $3 a gallon and inflation back at 2.9%. So the next thing that we need to tackle is this price gouging. And the Republicans won't tackle that because the additional profit that is made by these companies and corporations, they're going to give it to the Republican Party and lobby to make sure their price gouging remains unchecked. Let's talk to Derek. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you, Derek?
I'm doing well, Sherwin. You're right on. I was speaking to some guy. He was talking about Joe Biden had cost him $300,000 to $400,000 in his 401k, and I wanted to tell him, but I didn't. I mean, it's not Joe Biden; it was the people who sit in your trustees' fund who are making those decisions, and they're making unwise investments. That's why you lost $300,000 to $400,000 in your 401k. But also, you were talking about another thing too that's going on too. I was reading a lot of people are starting to lose their homes, not due to the prices, but depending what part of the country you are, is the insurance cost. A friend of mine, she said her insurance cost went they went up $3,000 last year, and they went up $5,000 this year, and that's over $8,000 in 2 years. And I don't think they'll be able to do anything. And I asked her, why did they go up? And they said it was all these natural disasters they had throughout the country, so, you know, with the fires and the everything else like that. And that's why the insurance company's got to make their money. But that may be another thing besides the $25,000. Even if you do that, your insurance rate's still going to go up. And she said her property values have gone up too. So, I mean, $8,000 in 2 years.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, that is a lot of money. And if everything holds true, it's going to go up again next year. What can be done? I mean, what can be done for something like that? I mean, so you get the $25,000 for down payment, and which is going to help a lot of people. But if your insurance rates are going up, I mean, how's that really going to help you at all?
So each state regulates insurance. And different, like we actually have an insurance regulator position or person here in Wisconsin. But here's the thing with insurance, because it's mandatory by law, insurance companies can be like, there's this thing called actuarial science, where they hire these really, really super smart people that determine how much it costs to insure your house or your car, or whatever. And nobody understands actuarial science, because there's so few people that actually do it. And so they say, oh, well, we got to raise rates. And they may list some of the things that you just noted. But the reason why inflation went up the way it did is because insurance companies just raised their rates. That's price gouging. Because insurance is mandatory, like if you have a mortgage, you absolutely have to have homeowners insurance. If you have a vehicle in the state of Wisconsin, by law, you have to have insurance. So if insurance companies know that you need their services by law, what's stopping them from raising the prices? Nothing. That's price gouging. But when insurance companies, whenever something is mandatory by law, state law, whenever they raise their prices, that decreases the value of the dollar, and then inflation goes up. Literally nothing to do with Joe Biden whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, but these, and then like the 401k, we had another thing they tried to do here. They were trying to get rid of the unions. And because they said, you know, you greedy, the unions are greedy bees, and they just think about themselves. And I say, wait a minute now. The unions are, they're the ones who fought for the $8 wage and the 8-hour day. And they did some other things. They haven't been perfect. But like I said, if you go to some of the places where they have in law, I don't know where Wisconsin is, but some of those southern states where they have it in their state constitution, right to work.
We're right to work.
You
state.
See some litigate. Yeah, but is it in the constitution?
No, but there is a state law. It's a state law, and I believe it's been, well, our current state Supreme Court, I think, is challenging us being a right to work state, but no decision has been rendered yet. But yeah, we're an anti-union state, because unions also, when they're allowed to grow and expand, they increase their political power, and they can elect pro-union candidates, which are always, always Democrats. So obviously, when Republicans are in political control, they want to curtail the power of unions, because if unions are able to grow and expand their membership, then unions get more political power and more Democrats get elected.
But also, there's a lot of southern states that's in the Constitution, right to work. I mean, all those, I'm like Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana, and I think even Texas and Georgia.
A reason why there's so much poverty and so much despair in the South.
Yeah, that's what somebody was telling me and explaining to me. That's why it's not good to have a right to work. Somebody said it's a right to work for less, and they always say the same thing, you know. If you get rid of unions, all these jobs will magically appear. No, they won't. They will not appear. And they were just saying that any place where you have unions, they say they always say the fastest growing economies, but the jobs are they have more jobs, but the jobs are very low income. Somebody was saying a lot of those places, I mean, somebody was saying in Texas, I think they pay $7.25 an hour minimum wage. I think in Georgia it's $7.25.
It's everywhere. It's $7.25, Derek. That's what the federal minimum wage is. Can't pay less than $7.25 unless you're in prison. But Derek, I got to go though. Appreciate your call.
Let's talk about the insurance and the things like that too. It's a good conversing with you, okay?
Thank you, Derek. Good talking to you, too.
Bye.
All right. Okay, Derek. Thank you, Derek. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This one is entitled, Slavery is Still Legal in Wisconsin Prisons. Congress passed the 13th Amendment over 150 years ago, January 31st, 1865, to be exact. That's almost 160 years ago. The vote was 119 to 56. The Civil War ended later that year, but President Abraham Lincoln, compelled by abolitionists, wanted to enshrine the promise of emancipation in the Constitution before the Southern states returned to the Union. Wisconsin wasn't far behind. It became the 18th state to ratify the amendment February 24, 1865. So that's only about 25 days after the passage of the 13th Amendment. So not bad. While it had always been referred to as free territory per the Northwest Ordinance, Wisconsin had been home to 90 to 100 slaves at various points brought by white settlers from Southern states. Up until Wisconsin was admitted to the Union, black slaves worked in lead mines and farm fields across southern Wisconsin. By ratifying the 13th Amendment, it was assumed that Wisconsin and the country put an end to that monstrous institution. But tucked within the promise of freedom was a perverse exemption. The amendment would not protect people serving punishment for a crime. Prisoners, in other words, would be forced to work throughout their sentences. To this day, incarcerated people have no constitutional protections from coerced labor or enslavement, and the state of Wisconsin is no exception. In the post-Reconstruction South, the exemption led to the return of slavery by another name, as black men and women were arbitrarily convicted, then leased as hired work crews. But the prison industry in Wisconsin has received relatively little attention, despite its reliance on the unpaid and underpaid labor of a racially skewed prison population. Per the census, 4,042 of every 100,000 black Wisconsin residents were incarcerated, as were 2,639 of every 100,000 American Indian or indigenous people. How interesting is that? Indigenous people and black folks, the most incarcerated. These numbers are staggering compared to 416 white people incarcerated per 100,000. Let me read those again. 4,042 black Wisconsin residents are incarcerated, 2,639 per every 100,000 American Indian or indigenous people are incarcerated. White people, that number is 416 per 100,000. The Wisconsin government operates a Prison Industries Act program called Badger State Industries, with the stated goal of providing inmates employable skills, vocational training, and a path to reintegration after they're released from prison. Through Badger State Industries, prisoners produce office furniture, seating, signage, and license plates that are sold to other state entities, including the University of Wisconsin system, which a lot of us paid our tuition to. The state has acknowledged that it is motivated by such economic management as prisoner well-being. The late administration of former Governor Scott Walker noted, quote, as the state's unemployment rate continues to decline, the need for a skilled workforce only will increase. Essentially, 13th Amendment exemptions allow state governments to control a pool of reserve laborers who may be forced to work when the labor market tightens. At the federal level, courts have excluded prisoners from protection under the Fair Labor Standards Act. When inmates have sued prison employers to enforce minimum wage laws for the FLSA, it was determined that the relationship between inmate and employer is not economic, but social or pernological, leaving them without wage or working protections. In Wisconsin, all prisoners are denied the minimum wage. Inmates working for a state-owned business like Badger State Industries make between 79 cents and $1.41 per hour. Wisconsin's slavery ban shouldn't come with a loophole, said at the time Senator Lena Taylor, referring to the 13th Amendment and its exception. Even in prison, slavery is never okay, et cetera, et cetera. And then there is this one. Wisconsin's prison population has swelled since the pandemic dip, complicating efforts to address dangerous conditions that were highlighted in June when prosecutors criminally charged nine Waupun Correctional Institution workers, including the former warden, with multiple prisoner deaths. This is from WisconsinWatch.org. The state's adult institutions were locking up nearly 22,800 people as of August 9th. That's more than 5,000 above the design capacity of Wisconsin's prisons and more than 3,000 above levels 3 years ago when COVID-19 actions shrunk prisoner ranks to a 20-year low. If the growth persists at this rate, Governor Tony Evers' administration could oversee more prisoners than within a year than it inherited when Evers succeeded Scott Walker in early 2019. The trend does not correspond with an increase in reported crime. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. Crime is not going up, but for some reason, more people are going to state prisons. I wonder if it's because the labor market is tightening and we have people incarcerated, especially in Wisconsin, they can be required to make products for Badger State Industries and pay them low wages. Statewide offenses reported to the Wisconsin Department of Justice were up in 2021, but declined in 2022 and 2023. The prison population increases comes years after Evers vowed to ease crowding in a state that stands out nationally for disproportionately imprisoning Black people. In a 2018 Democratic gubernatorial debate, Evers, who has spoken of second chances and redemption, called a goal by activists to cut Wisconsin's prison population by half. He called that goal worth accomplishing. The latest trend highlights the challenge of doing so. A quarter century after Wisconsin enacted one of the country's most punitive sentencing laws. I think that was three strikes. I think we might have called it something different here in Wisconsin. The prison problem spans policy and politics. Evers, a Democrat, contends with a legislature led by Republicans who seek to paint Democrats as soft on crime. Meanwhile, some Democrats say Evers has done too little to wield his own power to reduce prison overcrowding. I'm hoping he honors the promise he made on the campaign trail, said State Representative Darren Madison, a Democrat from Milwaukee, because right now that promise is not being fulfilled the way voters thought. Experts note that the governor has limited control over the size of the prison population. Changes such as shrinking maximum sentences, reducing imposed sentences, or diverting more people to treatment would require action by judges or the legislature. Evers spokesperson Britt Kutubek pointed to the governor's last three budget proposals, largely rejected by Republican lawmakers, that she said sought to, quote, bolster evidence-based and data-driven policies we know have improved community safety and reduced recidivism in other states and support alternatives to incarceration, including increased investments in treatment and diversion. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7 The Truth.
So the website is shop, B as in boy, C as in cat, E as in excellence.com. Shop, B, C, E. .com, and it is the Bureau of Correctional Enterprises. And there is a listing of products and services that you can buy right off their website. Products and services that are made by inmates. And the list of products are extensive. And so when I see these lists of products and services, I'm thinking about all of the people outside of prison who are subject to minimum wage laws. So if you're working in any of these jobs, any of these industries, you have to make at least $7.25 an hour. But in prison, inmates can make some of these products, manufacture some of these products, and provide these services for $0. They have no worker protections, meaning if they get injured or killed on the job, who cares? We'll just get another inmate to take their place. And they can't even refuse to work. I mean, they can, but then they'll just get sent to solitary. So I'm going to give you some examples of desks, files and storage, seating, tables, automotive, custodial services, disposable food service, miscellaneous, paper products, bed and bath, men's clothing, women's clothing, shoes, WATVA safety signs, U.S. bike route signs, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and specialty products. Oh, there's so much more. Furniture price lists can be found here. Accessories, custom, desks and benches, files and storage, panel systems, seating, tables, ATV and snowmobile signage, banners, bronze plaques, crime prevention. What is that? Crime prevention signage. So let me click on that and see what it says. Oh, my God. So have you guys ever seen those neighborhood watch signs with the eyeball in it? And it's blue and white. And it says neighborhood watch. You guys know what I'm talking about? The neighborhood watch signs. Sometimes people have them in their window. Made in prison. Warning. Member neighborhood watch. And it actually shows the neighborhood watch. So I didn't know that. That's interesting. That is crazy. What a custodial. Men's clothing. What kind of clothes? Oh, look at these brothers in here sewing. Good God Almighty. I hope you don't think that sewing is emasculating, gentlemen, because if you get some time in the joint, you're going to be sewing underwear, hats. Hats for the Department of Corrections are made and sewn by inmates. Oh, you can buy them. They're $7.40. Shirts. What happened to my microphone? All right. Let me talk to the caller. The caller, you're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? So I guess you're talking about the modern form of slavery, pretty much, because they make less than $1 an hour, right?
It also, there's a bigger story to it. It is a reason why wages outside of prison are suppressed, because if you get locked up, mm-hmm. you can make some of these same products and manufacture these same things for free. So why would I pay somebody outside of jail $15 an hour when I just wait for you to get locked up? You can make these products for free.
Kind of like, you know, you were just talking about this the other day, where you had a lot of Confederate soldiers who were poor white people who couldn't get a job before they joined the Confederate Army. So maybe a lot of them were joining the military, kind of like we do, well, a lot of black people have done over the last few decades, for financial reasons more so than patriotism.
I would look up how much Confederate soldiers got paid, because I don't think that they got paid a living wage. In fact, they probably were volunteer. But the point is they had to fight to maintain somebody else's property and human beings, which they could never afford.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly. And so what I'm thinking is that in a similar way, military service, you know, has stayed the same for, you know, similar for a lot of black people who, you know, see no other options at that time, and they can, you know, learn a trade, you know, and all of these three things are kind of connected in a way.
Very, very loosely, because the military, assuming that you stay in, you can retire after 20 years. If you get an honorable discharge, you're going to get basically a free education. You're going to get a guaranteed job, because there are literally programs that hire veterans and only veterans. Like, they get preference in jobs and hiring.
Mm-hmm.
They get preferences in contracting. And then there's this thing called the GI Bill, where they can get very, very low interest loans for themselves and their family members to buy homes. So it's not even close, because the benefits of being honorably discharged in the military actually is a good thing for some African Americans that would otherwise grow up poor.
I am an honorably discharged veteran.
There you go.
Yes,
but
sir,
I wouldn't compare
agree.
The current volunteer military to Confederates being drafted to fight to maintain somebody else's property and human being. A little bit of a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the thing that could happen as far as the guys being seamstress is that maybe they could, you know, get their tuition paid to go to fashion school and become, you know, fashion designers.
You know, you can't get student loan money. The caller, you know, you can't get student loan money. You can't get. Can you, what is that beeping? We got to stop that because that's not good.
Let me seat that.
Okay, put it on.
Okay, go ahead.
You can't get student loan money if you got a felony, buddy. So no, they can't go.
Yeah,
to
we
got to
come
school.
Up with a special grant for people who have worked hard and been underpaid in prison if they, you know, are trying to get their lives back on track. Truly, you know. So
you think the Republicans are going to support that legislation?
Oh, hell no!
Exactly.
All right, man.
All right, thank you for your call. And wear your seatbelt. You too. Put your seatbelt on.
I have a bad habit of pulling off and putting it on once I hear the beep. I need to stop that. And I'm the one always telling y'all to drive safe.
See that?
I know you're going to do a great job tonight. That's the main reason I'm calling. I almost forgot. Ugh. And like I've been saying all week, rumble, young man, rumble.
I don't plan on rumbling, but thank you for your vote of confidence. Appreciate it.
Don't rumble hard, but, you know, stand up for yourself. You don't have to sit there and be quiet like you were saying yesterday.
There are many other people that are going to be in the room. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right now.
All right.
Okay, then. Okay, sir. All right now. Wear your seatbelt. So this evening at 6 o'clock, we're having our, what are we calling it? Political round table? I don't know. I posted about it on the social media. I put it in the Hughes Views Facebook group. And I might have posted it on my page. Myself, Telly, Bailey. Why can't it just be me, Telly, and Bailey? No offense to my other colleagues. I think they're fantastic people. It's just we don't, it's not just that we don't agree on the issues. I think we have different facts. So I'm lucky in that I have a 3-hour program. In fact, I think I'm the only person in all of Good Karma Brands that does a 3-hour program by themselves. So I get to tell you guys and share with you guys actual facts on my show 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, which can potentially negate things you may hear just out in the world and other media where people tend to bend the facts. So thank you guys for listening. I'll see you tonight at 6 p.m.